First Kings 18, please. The words of the 30th verse, where we started our reading this morning. First Kings 18 says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him." And think of these words. It tells us, "And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Maybe that's what you need to do in your own home, your own family. We're going to bring a brief message in keeping with this being Father's Day, a message appropriate for father and mother both. We'll emphasize it particularly to the fathers and the responsibilities that we have in our own homes and in our own families and towards our family circle. So I want you to think of those words. It says of Elijah, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There is a missionary that served the Lord in the foreign field. The missionary was an American. Served the Lord in the foreign field faithfully for 25 years, quarter of a century. Then, because of circumstances, had to leave the mission field and return back to the States, return back to America to live and to labour for the Lord there. They weren't home very long, gathered together one day with some friends. They were in conversation, speaking of various things. And then the friends asked the missionary this question: "What is the biggest change that you have seen in America, in the life of America, in the time that you have been away as a missionary?" That's a very significant question. Maybe something you've never thought about, never considered. We spent a little over 9 years across the water in Wales. Even in that period of time, we could see changes here in Northern Ireland, changes that took place in the churches as well. It's true of every person that has lived abroad or laboured for the Lord abroad. So they asked, "What was the biggest change you saw in America in the last 25 years? They were thinking, when they asked that question, the missionary would maybe mention things like fashion. They saw great changes in clothes, dress, fashion, and I've no doubt there was. They were thinking maybe they would say things like the different styles of houses, the different models of car, different designs of car. They were thinking that they would refer to other matters like technology. Think of the great changes in technology that even we have seen in the last 25 years. Those were the sort of things that they were turning over in their minds that thought would be the answer. But that's not what the missionary mentioned. The biggest change said in America in the last 25 years is this: families don't get together to read the Word of God and pray as once they did." Isn't that very significant, men and women? The family altar. That's what the missionary noticed coming home after all those years, visiting, staying in different homes here and there across the land. The altar of the Lord in the home was broken down. Broken down. Can I ask this morning, men and women, is that true of your home? Is there a family altar in your home, family altar in your family, among your family circle? Does your family regularly get together to worship? You come to the Lord's house and worship together, and how good and how important that is. But what about the private times of worship, the family times of worship? When you all get together, open up the Word of God, a portion's read, some thoughts passed upon it, some comments made, some questions asked, and then prayer offered, especially by one of the parents, the mother, the father of the home. Is that true, men and women? Can I put that challenge to you on this Father's Day? When we think of the father, and particularly the responsibilities of leading the home spiritually in the things of God, is it true that there's a family altar in your home? Think of Noah. It's a fact that I've often emphasized at weddings. Those of you that have been at weddings that we've spoken at and conducted will be familiar with this. But Noah, when he came out of the ark after the flood, it's very interesting, very significant. The first thing that Noah built wasn't a house for himself and his family. The first thing that Noah built wasn't an enclosure for the animals. It wasn't some sort of covering or some sort of shed or pen for the cattle. The first thing that Noah built when he came out of the ark was an altar. Take time to read that for yourself. It's a very significant detail, a very important detail in the story of Noah and the flood that sometimes is overlooked. The first thing he built was a place to worship God, a place to pray, a place to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. And I emphasize to you, men and women, that that should be the same in every Christian home. When there's a Christian marriage and a young couple that are believers and they know the Lord and they set up a home and they set up a family, and that's what this country needs, in light of what we've read to you this morning that highlights the state of our country. Pray the Lord will give us more Christian homes. God will give us more Christian families in this land of ours. It's not building something out of wood or building something out of stone. That's not what we're referring to when we speak about the family altar. The family altar's establishing that practice, purposing in your heart and in your life, that it's going to be a part of your family life, a part of your home when the family gather together around the scriptures at the feet of the Savior to hear his voice and then pour forth their souls in praise to the Lord. Can I say to you, can I emphasize to you that that should be the case even if there's no children in the home, for whatever reason that may be, whether it be the case the Lord hasn't blessed you with children or the children are all grown up and gone away, set up their own homes. Even when there's no children in the home, there ought to be a family altar, a coming together for prayer and the reading of the scriptures. Because remember, it only takes two. That's all it takes. Two to make a family. Do you remember those familiar words? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's not a great promise. And every home, every family can claim that. Claim it for the family altar, particularly when we quote those words, we're thinking of church meetings. But remember, you can claim that promise in your own home as you meet together around the word. And those words, can I emphasize it? Can I highlight it again? They're written in the context of prayer. The scriptures in that whole context, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of your Father which is in heaven. So they're written there in the context of offering prayer. So it only takes two. I want to stress that sometimes it's overlooked. Sometimes people think the family altar doesn't apply to us, doesn't apply to our circumstances. If there's two in the home, there ought to be the family altar. There's a significant little statement you find in the Word of God. I find it in the New Testament more than one occasion. The church that is in thine house. Can I impress that upon you today? There's probably two things. If you read the commentators, they give you two ideas as to what is referred to, the meaning of those words. The church that is in thine house. Remember, in the days of the New Testament, they didn't have purpose-built facilities, purpose-built churches. In many cases, they met in the homes of the Lord's people. Acts chapter 12, great example of that. The prayer meeting, when Peter was in prison, it was in the home of John Mark. His family seemed to be quite well-to-do. They had a large house, a large home where many people could come and assemble for prayer. So the church in those days didn't have purpose-built facilities. So they met together in people's homes, people's houses. The church that is in thine house is what those words refer to. But it also can refer to your family. When your family gather together for prayer, that's like a little church. It's a little band of God's people, those that are under the covenant. And they're coming together to worship. They're coming together to praise the Lord, to lift their hearts and their voices in praise and in prayer, and to hear his word. So in that sense, there's the church. Doesn't that make all the difference? The church is the called out ones. The church is a people set apart, and that sets your home. That sets your family apart. There ought to be brethren and sisters in that sense. A church in every Christian home, and a church among every Christian family. So I want to emphasize on this Father's Day, pray the Lord will touch your heart. Pray the Lord will speak to you today. Maybe this is an altar broken down in your home, broken down in your family. You can look back maybe several years ago and you faithfully had the family altar, the times together, but they've been neglected. The family's got so busy, circumstances that have crept in, and the family altar's now in disrepair. It's broken down. You need to do what Elijah did here. Repair the altar of the Lord. Can I emphasize to you, and I'll do this very quickly, the benefits of a family altar. Time is limited to us this morning just because of all that has had to be fitted in to this service. I'll just basically mention with one or two comments the benefits of the family altar. One, of course, is instruction. The Bible says your children will ask you. That's how they learn. Sometimes we tell them off and scold them. We don't want to hear their questions. But that's the way children are made. It's something that's natural to ask questions. That's how they learn. And when they ask questions about the things of God, if you read the examples given, read through the book of Joshua, you're to tell them. You're to be ready to give an answer. And the family altar, as you read the scriptures, gives you an opportunity of instructing your children, your grandchildren, in the things of God. The Bible emphasizes that to us, the words in Deuteronomy that we often read at dedication, thou shalt teach them diligently. See the word, underline it. We're not to be careless, not to be negligent. Here's a responsibility the Lord lays upon every Christian parent. Thou shalt teach, and it's talking about teaching the word of God and teaching it diligently unto your children. You're not to leave that responsibility to the church, to the Sunday school, to the Bible classes, to the children's meetings. We're thankful for all of those outreaches of the church. But remember, parent, you have a solemn responsibility before God too to instruct your family in the things of God. That's one of the great benefits of the family altar. Another benefit is to do with importance. Through the family altar, we can emphasize to our family the importance of the things of God, the importance of spiritual things. And that could not be overemphasized, men and women, in the carnal day in which we're found, the materialistic, worldly society in which we live. One of the great lessons that we should teach children as they grow up is the importance of the things of God. They're the most important thing in life. The importance of the Bible. How will the children in your home know the importance of the Bible if it's never opened? If you never gather together, never, and open up the Word of God and read it. The Word of the Lord was precious in those days, it says, in the days of Samuel. Well, your family will not think the Word of God is precious to you, if you never gather them together to hear that Word been read. So through the family altar, regularly opening up the Word, reading it to the family, you're emphasizing to them the importance of God's Word in your life and in the life of the family, and how important that Word should be in their life as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I could encourage you, read the life of John Patton. There's many biographies, long and short. His own autobiography is available. One of the things that he emphasizes is his father and his faithful keeping of the family altar. Didn't matter what circumstance there was, what sort of day, whether good or bad, day of rejoicing or day of grieving. Didn't matter what was happening, how busy they were. It didn't matter who called. He said his father never failed in having the family altar. One of the things he said, and he said that continued for 60 years. But one of the outstanding memories of his life to the day that he died was of his dad bringing the family together in the home. That home there in Scotland, bringing them together around the scriptures and his father offering prayer. Another benefit is to do with interest. Don't we want our children to have an interest in spiritual things, an interest in the things of God? We're to encourage that. And one of the ways to do that is by your own example. If your family see that business and worldly things, that they're the things that take your interest, take your attention, well, they're going to follow your example. They're going to be influenced by that. The influence that you bear is going to have a very significant impression upon their lives. If you want your family to have an interest in the things of God, there needs to be an atmosphere in your home that is conducive to that. And one of the things that will encourage them, or one of the times that you have opportunity to encourage them to have that interest, is at the family altar, when the family gathers together to worship. The other one I'll emphasize has to do with introduction. Through the family altar, that time at home, privately, you can introduce your family to worship. Generally, you can know the difference between children brought up in a Christian home and what we call unchurch children when they come to a church service. Children brought up in a Christian home, they're introduced at home to the things of God, or it ought to be men and women. You introduce them to worship. You introduce them to sitting still for a little while, sitting still when the Bible is read. Very noticeable, even when the minister calls and prayer's been offered and the scriptures read in the home, the children that have been introduced to those things. That's one of the things that you can do in the family altar. You introduce your children, you teach your children to be still, to be quiet, to be reverent. You teach them how to behave, how to conduct themselves when worship is being offered. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us, instructs us? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train up the child. You do that in your own home. You do that every day, men and women. And one of the ways you can train and introduce your children to the things of God is by means of the family altar. So the family altar, men and women, how important it is. It's one of the great blessings of this land in Christian homes. One of the most important things. Elijah says he had to repair the altar. That altar had to be rebuilt. Maybe there's some parents, some fathers, some families here, and you need to do the same at this Father's Day. Isaiah said, set thine house in order. Things need to be sorted out in your life. Things that need to be sorted out in your home. Things that need to be sorted out in your family. And maybe the conducting of the family altar, the rebuilding of the family altar, is one of those things. That's a responsibility, particularly upon fathers. Fathers to give spiritual leadership in the home. You know, often it's the wife, the mother, that gives the spiritual leadership. We thank the Lord for godly mothers. One of the greatest influences for good in this land, in any land, is a godly mother upon her children. That could not be overemphasized. But fathers, you're the prophet in your home. You're the one that ought to take the leadership in those things and teach your family the things of God. I'll finish with this. Mr. Spurgeon, if you read his life, talked about his mother's prayers when they were very little, not able to go out to meetings at night. The memories that he had of his mother, reading the word with him, teaching them the scriptures, telling them the Bible stories. But he said the thing that stood out the most was his mother's prayers. Even when he was old, he said, and grey-headed, he still remembered his mother's prayers. He said, in fact, those prayers were so powerful and had such a deep impact upon him that he felt they would rise up and witness against him on the day of judgment. What a mother. What a godly mother Mr. Spurgeon had. Is it true in your home? Can I ask you this in the light of that? Does your children ever hear you pray in the home? He talked about his mother's prayers, the memory of them, the longest day he lived, rising up against him on the day of judgment. Is it true that in your home, your children never hear you pray? Never have a family altar? Never been a day? Never. From the day that you were married, and the children born, and all of the years that have passed, never been a day the children heard you pray. That's a solemn thought, men and women. It's a sad thought. There's a need. There's a need in Christian homes and all across this land to do what Elijah did here on Mount Carmel. Repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. We're going to sing a couple of verses as we finish. 747.